Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up. Hi. I'll speak up this time. I'm Diana.
I'm Erin. Yeah. Loud Erin.
Yes. No, I was noticing I'm very quiet, and so I have to speak up. All right. Caesar is dead. Long live Caesar.
Wow.
And I was just talking to Erin about this book that I told you guys I would report back on, which is The Last Assassin. And there are some very interesting points in that book talking about what the assassins planned and thought was going to happen. And now, as Erin and I are going forward, we're going to get into the what did happen. What was the fallout afterwards?
They didn't think it through very clearly.
No. When we last left our heroes, they were running for the hills.
Running towards the gates.
Holy shit. Yeah. And many of them that we're never going to see again. And so this author, I forgot his name, Peter Stothard or something like that.
Tis indeed Peter Stothard, the last assassin.
He talks about how they were supported as long as there was fear of Caesar. And then as soon as Caesar is gone, then there's no reason for them to be supported because they already did the thing. So that wasn't quite thinking beyond the act itself. That's a problem for them.
And they also a problem for them. That's an understatement.
understatement of the year. And also exactly figuring out what their alliance was after the act. So they had, you know, Cicero coming in and going, hey, guys, great job. That's amazing. But then half the people in Rome hated Cicero. So that's not helpful.
Yeah.
And then what happens if Antony objects? What happens if Octavius objects? What do we do then? Didn't think it through.
See, this is one of the reasons that I'm going to go back all the way back to episode one of this play and say, I'm going to agree with Harold Bloom.
Oh, you do it.
That Brutus wanted to be Caesar. He wanted to be Rome in the way that Caesar was. And it was made to happen in a way that could let him live with himself in that way. But the farthest they got was, oh, and Brutus will lead us.
Right.
That's as far as they got.
Yeah, and I feel that Cassius does not have that same trajectory in that way, because he keeps saying, if this doesn't work, I kill myself. I'm okay with it just being about the end of me, if that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he kills himself first, you know, when he thinks all is lost.
Spoiler
alert. But he...
So maybe he's the one true person. I mean, we don't like him, but maybe he's the one
who really
true
just
person.
Wants Caesar dead because Caesar's a threat.
Yeah. And also is a patriot in the way that we discussed, you know,
right.
Putting Rome first.
Caring about country and caring about what was the best thing for the country.
And but he also didn't make a plan.
That, yeah, he didn't make a plan.
But maybe that's what he was talking to Brutus about in that act where we don't know what they say. There's a lot in this play where we don't know what people are saying. There's a lot.
I
want to know what Shakespeare was thinking when he did that.
Yeah. The more I read this book, I realize, because the author is a journalist and he's really going off of facts, too, and everything that we were able to read about those times, is that Shakespeare did adhere pretty well to the facts of the story, which is great. But one of the facts that, you know, so there's stuff that he doesn't mention, and we don't know because of that, but one of the things also that I was talking to Erin about that he doesn't mention is that the conspirators didn't take into account the legions of armies.
Yeah. Whose armies?
That are just sitting just outside the city, because as you know, we talked about, they're not allowed to come into the city of Rome. They're sitting just outside the city, and who are they loyal to?
Caesar.
Yeah. They were supporting him through all of those campaigns, all of those broils and battles and terrible things.
And they won.
Yeah.
Under his generalship.
Yes, and they were promised land, and they were promised money, and if Caesar's dead, who's going to give them those things? Yeah. So that's a problem. And we'll find out that Lepidus is actually in charge of some of those legions. But Antony, being a soldier, is, of course, going to have their loyalty more than other people.
Hold sway.
Yeah. And I also found out that Octavius is 17 years old. Jesus. I didn't realize that. Yeah, so that's an interesting thing. And I don't think I've ever seen him played age appropriate. Like a teenager talking to Antony, who's in his 40s. That's a very weird balance of power.
I was going to say, power dynamic.
We're getting into those scenes today.
Yeah.
And that power dynamic is going to be very strange if you think about them appropriately in their ages.
Also, can we go back and just talk about Lepidus for a second? Because who was it that was so not nice about Lepidus earlier on?
Oh, Antony, for sure.
It was Antony.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's a commander, but he's not terribly colorful and interesting. Antony was known to be a wildly colorful brawler, drinker, you know.
Womanizer,
hanging out with the dudes, you know, favorite of the soldiers. And Lepidus is not, you know, terribly
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Antony is a really interesting character because we've had a certain impression of him until now. We've had some amazing speeches.
Well, we know he's an excellent orator.
Yeah.
But we also know he's a very, 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 very crafty politician. Like, he knows how to use props. He knows how to play the room. He's good.
Yeah. So we're going to get another impression of him now in 4-1. And just pay attention, because it's interesting. He's not what we think he is from beginning to end. It's a triumvirate. What's that?
Three people.
A threesome.
Menage a trois. Triumvirate.
Yeah.
There you go.
And there we go. And they're jockeying for power. And we said Lepidus was cousin. Interesting. Octavian is 17. So how is that jockeying going to come out, you know?
Who's coming out on top?
Yeah. Who comes out as the strongest? And the entity that really rules right now, though, is
the mob.
The people. They have to answer to the people.
Right.
And they have to try to figure out what the people want. Were the people okay with Caesar being killed? Brutus and Cassius find out, too late, that they're not, actually. No. Yeah. And so now they're going to go through the streets trying to get revenge for Caesar.
Yeah. Mob mentality. We talked about how it's very, very hard. And I was just listening to something on NPR that was talking about this very thing, and I thought, I should really write down what this is. And of course I didn't, so I don't remember it. But they were talking about how when you're in the midst of a crowd of people and they're all bent on doing a thing, it's very hard to stand up and say, I'm not going to do that thing. And so people, and also they get, there's a shared energy and emotion and whatnot that like ripples through large groups of people. And you see it at protests, you see it in high school all the frickin' time, right? So
yeah.
Same thing, mob mentality. It's hard to stand up to it.
Really hard to stand up to it. And you can sway it like Antony did, you know, you can read it and then go with that and try to manipulate it, but once they're on a tear,
we're
gonna see who they tear. Yeah,
it's one of my favorite scenes.
Yikes,
in the whole play.
I know.
It's so awful. It's so awful, and I love it so much.
Poor Sin of the Poet. Yeah. and then in the last scene, we're doing three short scenes, and then in the last scene, we're gonna see what the nature of Brutus and Cassius's relationship is post murder, because it ain't so good.
Well, and I'm not sure it ever was good. I don't think they were friends. I mean, they're related through marriage.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they were friends. I think that Cassius used Brutus in a very politic way. Brutus as a prop.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, because Brutus was thought to be very noble and Cassius not so much. And so Cassius convinces Brutus, the people want you. They want you.
Yeah.
And that's how they get their coalition together.
Yeah.
And I think that Cassius, you know, smart political maneuverer.
Yeah. And maybe a little bitter that he's not esteemed in that way.
Right. Well.
Yeah.
Caesar really didn't like him.
Yeah.
We already talked about that.
No. Or Casca.
Or Casca. Well, Casca's an ass, but whatever. Okay.
Yeah. And I also learned in The Last Assassin that Brutus got stabbed in the stabbing.
He did.
He got stabbed in the hand. So he's actually bleeding when he makes his whole, you know, himself, when he makes his whole speech.
That's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And so he was describing the stabbing scene in a very different way. You think of it as like these few set people, like Murder on the Orient Express, you know, where they all like gum and jab their knife into this person. But he talks about Caesar throwing off Casca and saying, "What the fuck? This is assault," you know, and like actually fighting back a bit. And that there were two senators in the room who did help fight back, fight against
the mob
of assassins. Yeah, the conspirators. And they got hurt. And so the whole Publius trembling in the corner thing, you know, is a good nod to that because like, holy shit, you know, what's going on?
Mm.
But the fact that Brutus got stabbed too,
so interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that would be a different way of playing it were you to do this play.
Yeah. And also thinking about, we did talk about where are you in relation to Caesar when you stab, but thinking about that there might have been, because The Last Assassin book is from the point of view of this guy, Cassius Parmensis, who's another Cassius. And he was kind of very much on the periphery of the stabbing group. So did he, reach in there, maybe not even stab, but he's counted as part of the assassins. And he talks about the assassins as a group growing from 18 to 60 at one point, people who were like, yeah, I was there, you know, and then later they're like, no, I wasn't there, you know, so what was real and who really wanted to take credit in after a certain point, you know, that's very interesting.
Oh, so a different kind of mob mentality.
Yeah.
I want to have been part of it. Oh, no, I don't want to be labeled like that.
Now that it's going sour, I don't. Yeah. So you can't prove. Ask so-and-so. He was fighting, and he'll tell you I wasn't there. But who can know when you're in the middle of this crazy thing? Exactly who was? That's why the whole Antony shaking hands with everybody is, you know, I think that is one element of it, is he's trying to ascertain who the fuck was in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woof.
All right. So.
Let's
tear up some Cinna.
Okay.
Act 3, scene 3.
Who wants to read Cinna?
You do.
I read Cinna.
Yeah, because it's your favorite
scene. Here I go. Cinna the poet. I dreamt tonight that I did feast with Caesar, and things unluckily charge my fantasy. I have no will to wander forth of doors, yet something leads me forth.
Yeah, so things charge my fantasy. Things fill my imagination with dark foreboding. You know, I feel that crazy nervous zing that tells me don't do this. And yet he still does.
Something's pulling him out.
So a bunch of citizens. What is your name?
Whither are you going?
Where do you dwell?
Are you a married man or a bachelor?
Why do they ask that?
Who the fuck knows? And why is it any of your business?
Why is it relevant? Yeah.
Oh, God. Answer every man directly.
Aye, and briefly.
Aye, and wisely.
Aye, and truly, you are best.
What is my name? Whither am I going? Where do I dwell? Am I a married man or a bachelor? Then to answer every man directly and briefly, wisely and truly, wisely I say I am a bachelor.
That's as much as to say, they are fools that marry. That happens to be an Elizabethan proverb, but that's really interesting. They are fools that marry.
Well, we used to celebrate April Fool's Day.
With
people who get married and had kids.
They're the fools?
Right, so that's April Fool's Day. Okay. Whatever. It was a family thing.
But then he says, you'll bear me a bang for that, I fear. Meaning you're going to get a blow from me for
saying
they're fools that marry. But I love you'll bear me a bang. You'll get fucked. So it starts, the scene starts to look a little bit like a comic relief scene, which we'll need after the funeral and the stabbing. We need it, but it doesn't work out that way.
No.
Later. Okay, Cinna.
Oh, yeah, but you have to
proceed directly.
Directly. I am going to Caesar's funeral.
As a friend or an enemy?
As a friend. That matter is answered directly. For your dwelling. Briefly. Briefly, I dwell by the capital.
Your name, sir, truly.
Truly. My name is Cinna.
Tear him to pieces. He's a conspirator.
I am Cinna the poet. I am Cinna the poet.
Tear him for his bad verses. Tear him for his bad verses.
I am not Cinna the conspirator.
It is no matter. His name's Cinna. Pluck but his name out of his heart and turn him going.
So tear his name out and then finish him off. How can you do that?
That's tear him for his bad verses. That line cracks me up. It's like, okay, I'm murderous. Ooh, your name's Cinna? Well, no, I'm a poet. Well, then I'm going to kill you for your bad poetry. Your name and your bad poetry.
Writing bad words.
Come almighty.
And third citizen, tear him, tear him. Come, brands, ho, firebrands, to Brutus's, to Cassius's, burn all. Some to Decius's house, and some to Casca's, some to Ligarius's. Away, go. Lots of injunctions for everybody to go and rip shit up.
Right, so, like, that's the thing. I mean, what do we think happened on January 6th?
It's just people egging each other on,
yeah.
Right? Just
go, I'm go, feeling go, go. Murderous. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling murderous. I'm angry.
I'm angry. Just go, go, go.
So I'm going to... And I just saw a thing. I'm the queen of... I just saw a thing, which I can't remember. But I just saw a thing, probably on Twitter, because... where there were photographs of January 6th rioters destroying a Republican's office. It wasn't just the Democrats that they went after. They were just fucking murderous. Yeah. That's it. They just wanted to fuck shit up.
Yep. So it's like Cinna the Poet.
It is like Cinna the Poet.
Democrat, Republican, don't care. I'm just going to rip you up.
Yep.
Rip you up.
Tear him.
Yeah. And Decius, I also learned that Decius Brutus was Caesar's best friend amidst these people. Not only Brutus, yeah. That he loved him, and he gave him a lot of things in his will, and yeah.
What, I mean...
Interesting.
Yeah, and I can't even remember. I played Decius earlier on, and I can't remember anything about him.
Right. I know, the others are sort of unremarkable besides Brutus and Cassius, and, you know, various small things we learn about them, but we don't. He doesn't flesh them out, and then they're gone.
And then they're gone.
And then they're brutally tortured and hunted down.
Yeah, say what you told me.
Oh, yeah. So Trebonius, and remember, he was the one that took Antony out of the room. Antony sends Dolabella, who is a character in Antony and Cleopatra, who's the one who comes to fetch Cleopatra at the end. But he sends him to Trebonius. At first, Dolabella starts negotiating about money and things like that, so it sounds like it's just going to be, you know, a political meeting. And then he returns in the night, and they sneak into his house. They find the way into his house, and he brings with him this professional torturer and a rack, and they spend 2 days in Trebonius' house torturing him. 2 solid days on the rack before they kill him.
Can you imagine being a professional torturer?
Yeah.
I know that people who do lethal injections have to get psychological counseling because just being the person who delivers a lethal injection fucks you up. Can you imagine being, like, what kind of person you have to be a professional torturer?
Ugh, gruesome. Absolutely gruesome. So they hunted them down one by one. And at first it was Antony who did some of it, but then Octavius just picked up this trail and was vicious in terms. And he also hunted down Antony at the end, Octavius. Yeah, Octavius turns out to be a little douchebag.
Here's an aside.
I don't like the word douchebag. It's one of those things that it's like pussy, right? You're a pussy. All things that are somehow connected to female anatomy become bad words or become disparaging words. And I don't like that because actually, you know, vaginas and vulvas are fabulous. So, but then I thought, okay, but you know, you don't need to douche. Nobody needs to douche because vaginas are self-cleaning. And this has nothing to do with Shakespeare, but I do think it bears repeating. So calling someone a douchebag, the stuff that's inside a douche bag is completely unnecessary. So it's not quite as disparaging, but I'm okay with it.
All right, so now we're going to meet him. We haven't met him.
He's 17.
He's 17. Lepidus is older than Antony. Antony's 40-ish. Watch for the shared lines here. Watch how the balance, quote-unquote, is being established. Lepidus only speaks in this scene. That's weird. He appears in Antony and Cleopatra. He's a senator, he's a soldier, but he only speaks in this scene. So, and Lepidus's brother, we need to know that because Antony asks for his death. Lepidus's brother is Lucius Paulus, who joined with Cicero in condemning the newly formed triumvirate. And anybody who calls us bad has to die, obviously.
Well, that's how we deal with our political enemies, right?
Right. So later, they imprisoned his brother, and later Lepidus allowed him to escape, and Paulus actually joined Brutus's army to fight against them, because he's like, you treated me like shit. Fuck you all. Hmm. All right, so a house in Rome. Here, Antony. I'll be Octavius.
And Lepidus.
Okay.
Antony. These many then shall die. Their names are pricked.
So they're actually agreeing and picking out the people who have, who are part of the conspiracy and who need to die. Hmm? Octavius, your brother too must die. Consent you, Lepidus? I do consent. Prick him down, Antony. So that's a shared line. He cuts him off. Lepidus has little enough to say, and Octavius is like, okay, he's done.
He's like Joffrey.
Yeah. He's a little, That would be a good visual to put in there for him. Yeah. Okay, Lepidus. Upon condition Publius shall not live, who is your sister's son, Mark Antony.
He shall not live. Look, with a spot, I damn him.
Wow. So what are we learning about Antony now?
He's like,
my sister's son,
disposable.
Whatever. Done. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'll trade you that for your brother. Like, damn.
Horrible. But Lepidus, go you to Caesar's house. Fetch the will hither, and we shall determine how to cut off some charge in legacies.
Okay. So cut off some charge in legacies means hold back some of the money that Caesar had promised in his will. So they're fucking corrupt already.
Okay. Ding, 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 soapbox. All motherfucking politicians are corrupt. This is what Shakespeare is talking about.
Yes.
And there are better and worse. There are more corrupt and less corrupt. There are people who are corrupt but also do good. You have to educate yourself about what these people have done in the past, what they say they will do in the future, and how they behave in the present in order to understand potentially how they will be if you elect them. That's just the bottom line. You can't just listen to what they say in their goddamn political ads or their freaking mailers that they bombard your mailbox with. You cannot believe them. You have to do your own research. You have to know for yourself what they stand for and how they have stood behind what they stand for in the past and in the present so that you have an idea about how they might do it in the future. Done.
Yeah. So these guys are very corrupt already. And wasn't Antony waving around a piece of paper that he said to the people, here's Caesar's will. Should I read it for you guys?
Yeah, he's a
he
master
didn't fucking
user.
Have it
of course
in his
not.
Hand.
He's a master user of props.
He's telling Lepidus to go get it, so he obviously didn't have it.
Well, we knew he didn't have it.
Fuck that.
He didn't have time to get it. We knew that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lepidus. What, shall I find you here? Or here, or at the Capitol.
This is a slight, unmeritable man talking about Lepidus.
Yeah, who's left the room now. Now they're going to cut him down.
Meet to be sent on errands. Is it fit, the threefold world divided, he should stand one of the three to share it?
So you thought him. So it's again shared line, and he's again cutting him off. So he's got to like pipe in and get his, you know, word in because he's insecure about his position as a teenager.
And
you know?
Also, right, so yeah. Antony's like, this guy is not deserving of respect. He's only a good, basically serving person to run errands for us. And he does not deserve a share of the...
To be one of us three.
Yeah, to be one of us three.
And divide the world, which was Caesar's, you know, Rome, the Roman Empire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they've already done that. They've already sort of agreed that Lepidus is actually in charge of Africa and Spain, and Antony of the Gaul, you know, all those French provinces and all that stuff, and Octavian more the Turkey and over there on the east. And they've already said we should just hang on to what we've already got, but then they've got to figure out who controls Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's some jockeying there. And Octavius, so you thought him. And took his voice, who should be pricked to die, in our black sentence and prescription. Now, the prescriptions were actually this whole method of decreeing who should be condemned for state-approved murder. Whoa.
State-approved murder.
And here's another aside. I'm sorry, Diana, I couldn't help myself. So, what do you think? Is capital punishment the death penalty... state-approved murder? I think it is.
It was an ugly, ugly time. And it ended up in the deaths. We'll talk about the battles of Philippi later when we talk, you know, with Brutus and Cassius and stuff. But it ended in being one of the bloodiest Roman civil wars where more Romans died than any other time. It's just crazy.
Antony. Octavius. I've seen more days than you.
I'm older than you, so listen.
And though we may lay these honors on this man, to ease ourselves of divers slanderous loads, he shall but bear them as the ass bears gold, to groan and sweat under the business, either led or driven as we point the way, and having brought our treasure where we will, then take we down his load and turn him off, like to the empty ass, to shake his ears and graze in commons.
You may do your will.
Another shared line.
Another shared line, another cut off. Yeah. So he's comparing him to a donkey. Like, okay, he has his use. We can lead him or drive him where we need him to go. And then we turn him out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get rid of him after. So Octavius cuts him off. You may do your will, but he's a tried and valiant soldier.
So is my horse, Octavius. And for that, I do appoint him store of provender.
Yeah, so I give him his pay in food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he's proposing to treat Lepidus, as a horse.
It is a creature that I teach to fight, to wind, to stop, to run directly on, his corporal motion governed by my spirit. And in some taste, is Lepidus but so? He must be taught and trained and bid go forth. A barren-spirited fellow, one that feeds on objects, arts, and imitations, which out of the use and staled by other men, begin his fashion. Do not talk of him, but as a property. And now, Octavius, listen, great things.
Yeah, should we stop there?
Yeah.
So, comparing him to a horse, mm-hmm. to wind, to stop and run, these are the things that you teach a horse how to move, so we can do him the same thing. But his corporal, his bodily motion is governed by me. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that decides, makes decisions. And so, in some taste, in some degree, so is Lepidus. Mm-hmm. This is what we should agree on. Barren spirit is dull. So Antony was known to be someone who cared about sport. We saw him run in the Lupercalia in the beginning, you know, the second scene. So he likes to run, and he's a physical person. Mm-hmm. Lepidus likes, Antony's saying, objects, art, and stuff. But he's also saying that Lepidus, what he means by begin his fashion, he only catches on to trends long after other people have picked them up. So he's sort of slow on the uptake. He's a follower, he's not an early adopter. Yeah. So now he's going to get on to things that are more important for them to
listen,
talk about.
Listen, great things. Brutus and Cassius are levying powers. We must straight make head. Therefore, let our alliance be combined, our best friends made, our means stretched, and let us presently go sit in council. How covert matters may be best disclosed, and open perils surest answered.
Yeah. So we need to join forces.
And
right?
And we need to
stop arguing.
And we need to talk amongst ourselves.
Quietly. In closed chambers.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to raise an army. That's what make head is. It's not like give head. our means stretched means we need to extend. We need to get as much money as possible, as much credit, so that we can raise armies, so that we can pay them, and all that stuff. And then we need to figure out how about these hidden dangers that we can discover. This is talking about ferreting out those assassins and any armies that they might raise to come back at us. And open perils are obvious ones. We can do away with them immediately. Anybody who's hanging around, we're going to just kill them.
Quick!
Like Cicero. They cut off his head, his hands, and his tongue and hung them up on the walls.
A tongue hanging on the walls?
Tongue, yeah. Ah. Gross. Octavius. Let us do so, for we are at the stake and bayed about with many enemies. So there's that stag imagery we've come across again and again and again. We're surrounded by dogs barking at us. And some that smile have in their hearts, I fear, millions of mischief. He might be hinting at who's right in front of him, you know? Antony.
Yeah.
Because Antony's standing right there and trying to make an ally of him. But I think that Octavius is very canny in that he is not going to make an ally of anybody, you know?
He's in it for the long game.
Yeah. So these people that smile are not allies. They're only allies for the present. All right, so there's already bickering there. Not good. And now let's go over to the Brutus and Cassius camp. Meanwhile, over at the camp of Brutus and Cassius. And it says they're near Sardis. That's over near Greece.
Yeah.
Brutus. Stand, ho!
Give the word, ho, and stand!
What now, Lucilius? Is Cassius near?
He is at hand, and Pindarus is come to do you salutation from his master.
He greets me well. Your master, Pindarus, in his own change or by ill officers, hath given me some worthy cause to wish things done undone. But if he be at hand, I shall be satisfied.
And Pindarus, I do not doubt but that my noble master will appear, such as he is, full of regard and honor.
Okay, so he greets me well. That means he's sent a good person to negotiate with me because he likes Pindarus. But he's saying, your master, Cassius, has given me reasons to wish that the thing that we did was not did done, right?
Was not did.
Was not did. And I need him to explain to me where the fuck we are now and what's going to happen. Because I'm not happy. Not happy at all. And Pindarus says he cares about your enterprise and he will satisfy you. He is not doubted. A word, Lucilius. How he received you, let me be resolved.
With courtesy and with respect enough, but not with such familiar instances, nor with such free and friendly conference as he hath used of old.
Thou hast described a hot friend cooling.
That's a shared line.
Yeah, so he jumps in too because he's not happy with this. So the word enough at the line ending is like, meh. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
It was not, the best. Yeah. So a hot friend cooling is,
someone who was very passionately involved with you, not being so keen on you no more.
Yeah. ever note, Lucilius, when love begins to sicken and decay, it useth an enforced ceremony. So he's saying that people get formal and stilted when they're beginning to pull out of a relationship. They're not intimate and casual anymore. They start to get a little stiff and weird.
It's true.
You know when your friends are start acting weird. Strange, mm. that something's not right, and they're not saying, and then suddenly they're not your friends anymore.
Yeah, suddenly they're not even looking at you in the hallways.
Yeah. Yeah. And before that happens, you got to get some things explained.
Lucy.
There are no tricks in plain and simple faith. But hollow men, like horses hot at hand, make gallant show and promise of their mettle. But when they should endure the bloody spur, they fall their crests, and like deceitful jades, sink in the trial. Comes his army on? All right, so...
There are no tricks in plain and yeah. simple faith.
When you really care about something, you're direct with them.
Yes.
Yeah. But hollow men, which are insincere men... They hot at hands means they're lively at the start, make a gallant show. They look promising. They look powerful. They look exciting. But then when you put the spur to them, the bloody spur, they fall their crests, which means they droop their heads like inferior horses, like deceitful jades, okay? So he's using the horse comparison too, like Antony, unbeknownst, you know, to him. Mm-hmm. And then they sink in the trial. That means they fail. So they fail as the mount, which is the person that you're counting on to carry you and to go with you to the end. So he's got his big doubts about Cassius now.
Yeah, and Lucilius. They mean this knight in Sardis to be quartered. The greater part, the horse in general, are come with Cassius.
Good. The horse in general is just the cavalry, all of the cavalry. So he's in charge of the cavalry. Hark, he has arrived. Slow march, 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 march. March gently on to meet him.
Cassius. Stand ho!
Stand ho, speak the word along. Stand!
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 Those were soldiers.
Those were soldiers. They're just like passing the word down. Wait, wait, wait.
Right.
So they're meeting in the field, it feels like.
Yeah. Most noble brother, you have done me wrong.
Judge me, you gods. Wrong I mine enemies? And if not so, how should I wrong a brother?
Brutus. This sober form of yours hides wrongs, and when you do them...
Cassius, be content. So he cuts him off. Mm. He's like, we should not be fighting. So we have the word brother, and then the word brother thrown back at him, like, you call me brother, but you're not behaving like a brother. And then he cuts him off because he doesn't want them to appear bickering in front of their...
Soldiers.
Soldiers. The soldiers have to know that they're on the same team. Speak your grief softly. I do know you well. Before the eyes of both our armies here, which should perceive nothing but love from us, let us not wrangle. Bid them move away. Then in my tent, Cassius, enlarge your griefs, and I will give you audience.
Pindarus! Bid our commanders lead their charges off a little from this ground.
Lucilius, do you the like, and let no man come to our tent till we have done our conference. Let Lucilius and Titinius guard our door. Tit.
Tit.
Lucy and Tit are going to guard the door.
That's a good name for a band. Lucy and Tit.
So he says, we're going to move off towards the privacy of my tent. And the soldiers wait out here because he doesn't want their nervous upset to be passed along.
Oi, oi, oi.
Aye.
Interesting, because I feel like this is what always happens. Even if you do have a plan, I mean, think about all the movies where there's a caper, right? And they all fall apart because everybody gets a little bit either greedy or, what happens in families too, when someone dies and everybody's sitting by the bedside and everybody's a family together holding hands, and then the person dies and they're all like, I get the money, right?
I get the house.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you have a plan or a will or whatnot.
That big event is going to change
everybody.
Change the course of everybody's ideas, yeah. Because it's like I always told people when I was having babies, like, you could tell somebody else what it's like to have a baby till you're blue in the face, and they just won't understand it until they do it. Because that huge event changes your life for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So this giant murder that they were all part of changed all of their lives, and they could not possibly see how it was going to change their life on the other side, because it was just a giant unknown.
So maybe it wasn't so much that they didn't have a plan, as it's just that it was so momentous that they couldn't possibly understand what life would be like on the other side.
Yeah. Because they had to take into account their guilt, the other people's reactions. Who was jockeying for power after that? If they didn't kill with the idea of saying, we're killing Caesar and here's Brutus and we're putting him in that place, that wasn't clear to the people.
But also, it would undo everything they said they were doing
right.
it for. So
yeah.
they couldn't really do that.
Right. Yeah.
It's so complex.
So complex.
And I'm going to go back again to why this play is always appropriate.
And relevant, yeah.
It's always appropriate. It's always relevant. For that very reason, because there is no good guy.
Yeah, we certainly see that with Antony in this scene. Whoa. Oh my God. Right? I mean, friends, Romans, countrymen, you're there. You're with him. He's cool. He speaks so well. And then in this scene, he's an absolute asshole.
Yeah, what can I skim off the top?
Yeah. And who can, and how can I, you know, turn Lepidus out running because he's an asshole and I don't want to deal with him. And then I'm going to do the same to you. Why wouldn't you think I would, Octavius, right?
Right. I think Octavius is very smart not to... put all his eggs in the Antony basket.
Yeah, because the whole world in Rome is waiting to see, are they together or are they not? And as long as they're not, there's room for conspirators to still be in there as players. But if Antony and Octavius are on the same page, they control a lot of the empire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
So history's not boring!
Remains to be seen. Big tent scene coming up ahead. So exciting. No, it's a really good scene. Really good scene. Brutus and Cassius really giving us the human angle on how that all ends up. Yeah. All right, awesome. I'm Diana.
I'm Erin.
And this was Fuck Shakespeare. Come on, say it with me.
Fuck
Shakespeare!
Julius Caesar.
I just thought you said Julius Caesar.
That's good.
Julius.
Julius. Bye.
Bye.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.